From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of January 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. And Mike Barwinski, a senior trader from Louis Dreyfus Commodities, will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. In agricultural news, Barclays Capital has predicted investments in the commodity markets could top $500 billion by the end of the year. U.S. food sales to Cuba are off by 30%. Surprisingly, that's a big deal for the total available food in that nation. And the IEA expects oil demand for the calendar year could be up substantially from last year. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll talk with the Illinois corn growers, Tricia Braid Terry, about social media and a webinar for farmers. Hey, and in just 26 minutes, Don Day will be here. He's an agricultural meteorologist and will help us take a look at the weather forecast. So stay with us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this in Chicago. The nearby contract and the soft red winter wheat was up 20 cents at $7.93 and a quarter for the March. May at 8.22 and a quarter, 19 and a quarter higher, and July wheat futures at 8.46 and a quarter, up 18 and a half in Chicago. Kansas City, March at 8.76 and a half, up 16 and a half. Back in Chicago, the corn pit, $6.59 and a half, the trade and final for the March contract at 10 and three quarters higher. May corn at 6.69 and a quarter, up 11 and a quarter. July at $6.73, up 10 and three quarters. September corn, 6.16 and three quarters, up 7 and a quarter. And next year's December at $5.78, up 6 and three quarters on the afternoon. March soybean futures down 9 and a quarter, $14.13 and a quarter. The May futures at $14.23 and a quarter, down 8 on the afternoon. July at $14.28 and a quarter, down 6 and a half. And the August beans at $13.99 and a quarter, down 4 and three quarters for the day. The November futures of next year at $13.26, up 2 and three quarters on the afternoon. Soybean meal finished the March at $3.83.40, up $4.70, and the bean oil at $57.55, 28 cents higher. Livestock finished the Mercantile Exchange feeders at $109.20, down 17 and a half. January feeders at $127.30, up $1.70. The lean hogs finished at $80.47 and a half. They were up 95 cents on the afternoon, and it was the live cattle that was 109.20, down 17 and a half for the day. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. February crude oil futures at $91.37 a barrel, down 18 cents. Ethanol at $2.34 and 9 cents, 7 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.41 and 3 cents, down 6 and 7 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.64 and 3 cents. That's just about 0.1 cent lower. Gold futures finished at $1,368.10 an ounce, up $7.70, and the Dow now at 11,846 is just about 60 points higher. The dollar at 78.96 is down 0.37, and the CRB index on the afternoon at 333.78 is up 0.72. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. This afternoon for Urbana-Champaign, scattered flurries today, cloudy, a steady temperature around 29 degrees, north-northwest winds at about 15 miles an hour. And then tonight, scattered flurries, cloudy, a low of 15 degrees. The wind chill will drop between 4 and 9, north-northwest winds 8 to 14 with gusts as high as 20. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a high near 24. The wind chill 5 to 15 degrees. North-northwest winds between 5 and 8. And then Wednesday night, snow likely, mostly cloudy, a low of 16 degrees. Northeast winds between 5 and 7. Chance of precip on Wednesday evening is 60%. Thursday, a 50% chance of snow. Cloudy, high near 23 degrees. North-northwest winds between 7 and 14. They'll gust all the way to 18. And Thursday night should be mostly cloudy, blustery, with a low of just 2 degrees. The high on Sunday, 10. Mostly sunny and cold. More on the agriculture weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace. There's a disparity between the wheat and the corn and the soybeans. One set up and the other down. Why?
Well, I think that the main thing that occurred was some good moisture down in Argentina. Chance for a little bit more, and the corn is farther along in its maturity level down there, been through the pollination, seen some of the rough edges that way, and they don't feel it's going to help the corn as much as the beans, Todd. And actually, you know, we saw China, you know, they're talking about backing off a couple, three things here, one along the way. So, you know, we've moved an awfully fast and furious way in the beans over the last couple weeks in comparison to the other two. So I think it was just a day of a little profit taking, a little nervousness about the moisture down there. The wheat, of course, the most bullish of everything today as far as the trade went, and I think it's just looking at a lot of the winter conditions here and seeing that some of this wheat is not looking very good.
Did you learn anything interesting in Chicago over the weekend? You were attending an ADM function there, I believe.
Yeah, we had a lot of good speakers and a lot of talk about the rationing hasn't really begun yet as for the tightness of these stocks, and we have not really seen a slowdown in usage or exports here yet by a lot of places around the world, and there's a lot of optimism that we have to continue to gain a little bit in these markets until we can start to see some rationing, and if and when and what price it's going to take to do that is nobody there seemed to know for sure, but a lot of numbers were thrown out around the 680 basis, the March corn to $7 is a place they thought it would start to begin.
Not very far away in relative terms, I suppose, when we're at 660 on the afternoon, 659 and a half in the March contract.
Yeah, 20 to 40 cents away, but you know, that's whether it'll go there, whether that starts rationing is still the question out there.
Well, given that discussion point, what do producers do about it, if anything?
Well, I think that right now we want to be a little bit patient. We've still got the idea of we do need to find some more acres before next year somehow along the way, and there'll be a little bit of a battle for that. But it's going to be coming time here soon to really be thinking seriously of either you know, putting a little cash on and have some bull call spreads against it, or to look at buying some puts in here to protect ourselves in case something happens. And we don't know what that something's going to be yet, Todd. It could be the government. One of the things that we were encouraged to come back and encourage everyone to do was to write the CFTC and to ask them not to put trading limits on things, that artificially changes the market and doesn't leave chance for sellers as themselves if there aren't buyers out there, and it makes it hard to hedge. And you know, we saw the pork belly market go away because no hedging, the ham market go away, the fertilizer contracts go away because there wasn't enough volume for a good hedging purposes.
In fact, we're going to take that point up this week during Commodity Week. Scott Irwin, a professor here on campus, studies trade and what limitations happen and what they do to trade. So we'll have him on as our guest on Commodity Week, so we're looking forward to that. Of course, as you alluded to, CFTC last week put forth a rule for comment that producers can check out on the websites if they'd like. They can search that under the CFTC, make a comment about trade, and ADM, I think, has taken its stance, apparently, that they'd like to be able to continue to trade as they have in the past. Is that right?
Well, actually, it wasn't even ADM. It was Jim Wiesmeyer, and that it was one that highly encouraged us, and also Dan Bassey. So we heard it actually not from the ADM people themselves, but from the other speakers who were there. So I think that ADM as a company would agree we would like to keep the open market, but actually we heard it from the other speakers, in fact. And I think for all the farmers involved, we know that embargoes, that setting up rules that are one-sided are not a good thing.
All right. Now, let's go back to the markets at hand. So switch gears from corn to soybeans. Futures there were down.
you know, we've moved up awfully fast. We saw some good rains. We went up on the poor yields, and we do know that there's a lot of areas that the beans still have time to make some real improvement as far as Argentina does. The Brazilian crop continuing to look good. You know, just talk or anything that could slow down a little bit. I think we're at lofty levels above $14, and there were some people that were willing to say, hey, with this rain coming along, we think there might be a little bit of a setback here and take profits. We don't think corn and wheat can carry on all by itself to the upside if beans continue to work to the downside, though. So we probably look for a little rebound later this week in the bean market.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We also produce Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets, and this weekend an important one as we'll take up the CFTC's proposed ruling on trade in the commodity markets. Scott Irwin will be our guest. He's a professor in agricultural economics in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. Commodity Week on our website at willag.org. Dave Dickey's here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
Barclays Capital says today that commodity investments could near $500 billion by the end of 2011. As the return of $100 oil and a broad-based rally heighten interest in the asset class to levels not seen since 2008. Investors are increasingly looking for active management rather than buy-and-hold plays. Barclays Capital data and estimates suggest that if prices remain as they are, total fund investment in commodities at the end of 2011 are likely to be around $420 billion. U.S. food sales to Cuba fell by 30% from January through November compared with the same period in 2009. Cuba imports about 60% of its food, and the U.S. has been the country's top provider for years, despite an almost five-decade-old U.S. trade embargo. Cuban purchases from the U.S. of frozen poultry, wheat, soy products, corn, beans, and other products peaked at a record $710 million in 2008, then fell 24% in 2009. The report says Cuba is turning more to countries such as Brazil, France, Canada, Russia, and China, where it could purchase food on credit. Cuba is required to purchase agricultural goods from the U.S. with cash under a 2000 exemption to the embargo. The International Energy Agency today says that worldwide economic growth and a cold winter in the Northern Hemisphere will underpin higher than expected oil demand this year. The Paris-based agency says it expects oil demand this year will rise to 89.1 million barrels a day, up from 87.7 million barrels a day in 2010. The IEA warned that currently high crude oil prices could put a brake on economic recovery and says oil producers, financial investors, and consumers could all suffer if prices linger around $100 a barrel this year. South Korea today says that it has culled about 15% of its pig and cattle population to contain outbreaks of foot and mouth, while it slaughtered 3% of its poultry population to prevent the spread of bird flu. The ministry says 2.1 million animals, mostly pigs, and 3.6 million poultry, mostly chicken, have been killed. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Speaking of websites and using web kinds of communications to make contact with other folks, kind of like we do with you from time to time, farmers themselves are stepping up to that plate by using some social media. The Illinois Corn Growers Association's Tricia Braid Terry is here to tell us a little bit about, well, an opportunity to get some training for farmers anyway. This week, thank you, Tricia, for taking the time with us. Tell me a little bit about your job at Illinois Corn first, and then we'll delve into what's happening on Thursday of this week.
Sure. Well, my job here is, the title is Director of Communications, but that's basically a catch-all, Todd, for anything that ranges from media relations to public relations, membership communications, content on the website, special products or special duties as assigned. I mean, everybody has one of those kind of jobs. So that's what I do here, including social media.
Yeah, define that for me just a bit. What is social media?
Social media is just a fancy way of describing conversations and communications that happen on the internet. So basically, if you are using email, you can already count yourself as participating in social media. So we've been doing it for a while. We're just starting to put a name on it.
And then on Thursday of this week, there is a webinar hosted, I believe, by Pioneer and the National Corn Growers Association for farmers to talk more in depth about social media and how to use it. Is this correct?
That's right. And we here at Illinois Corn are really looking forward to the opportunity for not just our members and our checkoff contributors, but basically anybody that's listening that's involved in agriculture to log into the social media online training. To get involved and registered, you just go online to NCGA for the National Corn Growers Association, ncga.com/social media, and there will be a link there that says click here to register for the January webinar. These are going to be a series of monthly webinars starting on Thursday at 10:30 through the remainder of the year to really encourage farmers and other folks in agribusiness to get engaged in the conversations, because we know that conversations about farming, about farmers, about what you do, we know those things are happening online, but the voice of the farmer is conspicuously absent. So this is a way to introduce the tool to the farmers who are their own best spokespeople and give them the opportunity to get involved.
How did this come about? Member states talked to NCGA and said, we really need some training for our producers?
Exactly. You know, our farmer leaders come into meetings, 6 or 8 times a year, and they've heard just like everybody. You know, they have their own families. They have nieces and nephews and sons and daughters and moms and dads who are on Facebook, or they've heard about this Twitter thing, or they saw a YouTube video featured on CNN, and they come into the office and say, you know, what's all this about, and how can we use it? So in our individual state offices, we had this question commonly. We have our own efforts in social media that we're working on, and it didn't really make much sense and didn't seem efficient for each state to individually develop a social media training program. So we handed that off to national corn growers and said, hey, do you think you can pull something together? And as they were working on that, Pioneer, which is a DuPont business, heard about it, really wanted to support it, and they offered to support it to the extent that it can be offered free, not just to members of Illinois Corn Growers, but to everybody. So not just in Illinois, but around the country this webinar is being offered. We just wanted to really extend an invitation to farmers in Illinois and others to get involved.
And one more time, how do they register, and when is it again?
Thursday at 10:30 in the morning is the first one, January 20th at 10:30 in the morning. Go to ncga.com/social media, and you'll find the information there. The times for the remaining months will be set later, but once you register, you'll get the email reminder about the upcoming webinar. And basically, in case you've never been on a webinar, that's basically just a seminar that's offered online. So you'll be able to watch things on your computer screen, and then you'll listen through the telephone.
Thank you so much, Tricia, for taking the time with us today.
I'm glad to do it, Todd. Thanks.
Tricia Braid-Terry is the Communications Director for Illinois Corn Growers Association. Joins us from the offices there in Bloomington Normal.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, time to take our weekly look at the agricultural energy markets. Mike Barwinski of Louis Dreyfus joins us once a month to have that discussion. Good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
It's a really high price set of corn at this point. Can your ethanol plant still do it and make a living?
Today it can, yeah. I think the big part is whether or not we can sustain these levels. And, you know, you look out on the forward corn curve through, you know, the July and the May futures were higher, and ethanol is, you know, higher as well, but not one for one. So if you look out the curve, margins get tighter and tighter as we move through Q1 into Q2.
You have a prediction at what point you might not be able to make it, and I mean what point on the price of corn where rationing might begin?
You know, I think once you, I'm jumping around here, looking towards the diesel 11 corn price, you're starting to look at $6.50 to $7 corn. You're definitely going to be squeezing some people out of the short term. I think you're going to have at least, you know, 2 to 3 months of some pain in the nearby before you start to take people out. But it doesn't take that much time before the cash flow really starts to tighten for some people.
Now, let me get some clarification. $6.50 to $7 corn cash market for nearby or
no?
The
I would say
contract?
Futures for
That's the December 11 futures price, right?
Yeah. So for nearby, you're looking more towards a little bit higher than that.
Okay. Just wanted to know for sure. All right. So you can operate for a while, and I suppose if you can do it, many of the rest of the folks can do it as well. Who else?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a struggle, but it feels like this is the third year in a row. Q1, we've had, similar issues. We've had a building in stocks just seasonally. Gasoline demand is lower. As such, ethanol demand is lower. So we have, seasonally stocks building. And, plants, get a little difficult around this time of year. But, around Q2 into Q3 again, we start to come out of it. And, we'll have that again this year. We've had it the last 2 years, so I think that's what a lot of people are looking forward to.
Do you deal with the RINs at all?
Yeah, a little bit.
And will you use them?
People will definitely be using RINs. The values are very low right now, so I think people are going to be max blending right now for on your end user side.
Yeah, so it won't be until the value of the RIN comes up that you start using it. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
No, not that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus. He is in Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens once a month with him on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Peking Duck Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1778, Captain Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands. He named the islands after his sponsor, the 4th Earl of Sandwich. In 1799, Joseph Dixon was born, an American inventor and manufacturer. He produced the first pencil made in the U.S. When he died, the Joseph Dixon Crucible Company was the largest manufacturer of graphite products in the world. In 1813, Joseph Farwell Glidden was born. Glidden, an Illinois farmer, received a patent for the first commercial barbed wire on November 24, 1874. Glidden's barbed wire opened the plains to large-scale farming and closed the open range, bringing the era of the cowboy and the Roundup to an end. With his partner, Isaac Elwood, Glidden formed the Barbed Fence Company of DeKalb, Illinois, and quickly became one of the wealthiest men in the nation. In 1818, George Palmer was born. Palmer of Huntley and Palmer Biscuit Manufacturers introduced the first biscuit tins. In 1943, pre-sliced bread was banned in the U.S. for the duration of World War II to conserve metal from spare parts that might be needed. And in 1990, the first McDonald's in Moscow opened. And that's this day in agricultural history. The 21st annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we have a dynamite lineup, including Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lynn Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Our theme is Growing the Farm 2011 and Beyond, Strategies for Sustainability. The cost is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. Register now at 800-528-7980 and avoid the registration line. We take all major credit cards. Call 800-528-7980 and we'll mail your tickets.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest to begin with.
Well, we are certainly looking like it should, I guess, in the midwinter period. We're very cold and we'll be that way. We've got temperatures that will, at least for the next 7 to 10 days, and maybe even a little bit longer, remain well below normal from the northern plains and areas along the Missouri and Mississippi River basins east to the east coast. Temperatures are going to be averaging well below normal, and a series of systems will keep snow chances occasionally in the forecast, although sometimes when it gets real cold like this and stays cold, you tend not to have heavy amounts of snow, but we'll have some chances.
Any problems in any of the wheat areas with lack of snow cover at this point? And
well, certainly. Yeah, we could really use some precipitation over portions of Kansas, Oklahoma, portions of Texas. Now, there is going to be a little bit of snow cover for some of the big wheat areas of western and southwest Kansas, and maybe in Oklahoma and Texas panhandles with the system coming in tomorrow and Thursday. But snow cover's been lacking and precipitation lacking in those areas so far this winter.
Speaking of lacking precipitation, how's Argentina doing at this point, and what kind of heat are they getting during their summer months and pollination for the corn crop?
Well, precipitation is still forecasted to be a bit below normal in Argentina. There are still some dry areas, and while we do see some opportunities for showers in Argentina, especially some of the key growing areas, it's still going to fall a little short of where we need to be. Now, the opposite is true, obviously, with some of the news reports you've heard in Brazil and other portions of South America that have had some very heavy rains. But Argentina has been a different story this summer in their summer season down there, and that trend's going to continue. It is going to still be warmer than normal. Temperatures will be anywhere from about 7 to 8 degrees above normal in the next 10 days in Argentina, while closer to normal in Brazil.
Have the Australians gotten any relief from the deluge of precip that they've had in recent weeks?
A little bit, and the forecast is looking better. There are still going to be some rains in the far northern and far eastern areas of Australia and some areas of the southwest, but the hardest hit areas of the east and central will catch a break.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.